With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. This is episode 10. I'm Hannah Norris, and we have a little guest. We have three guests with us, and one who's helping to create an ambience for this recording today. But I'm also here, as per usual, with my husband.
Hello.
That's Carl Donnelly.
Hello, my name is Carl Donnelly.
Yes.
really perfect. Yeah. That idea.
Yeah.
I know. Every time I make it sound like it's my first time here.
He's a professional podcaster.
I'm Carl Donnelly. I'm not a professional I'm a professional comedian.
And podcaster.
And I happen to do some podcasts.
And we're here with two other guests. We've got two guests today. They are a couple. Married couple.
Hello.
Hello.
I've done this before as well.
Yes, the lower voice, deep voice, male voice you hear belongs to a comedian, actor.
I like that you hesitated on that. There's a little question mark in there. But sometime comedian.
No, I meant to say, he's a comedian. And he's got a very close associate whose name is Marcel Leconte, and this is Alexis Dubas.
He will not be featuring today.
He will not be here. He's he's French. He doesn't podcast. And his wife, who she had definitely had a proper job.
At one time, yes. Yeah.
But also went on tour with Alexis while pregnant.
Yes.
And runs a festival.
Yes.
And I was in the gospel choir.
I'm in a gospel choir. I like that you have my CV hand.
I was remembering. It's Pauline Lord who's here as well. Hello.
Hello.
And in the background, we can hear their 18-month son.
Yep, that's the higher register that will be piping up between every sentence. He's very chatty at the moment.
Learning lots of new words. And I was thinking, just as we were about to start, that we're taking it back to pregnancy, because that's what this podcast's about, because that's what's happening to me right now. I'm currently at week 15.
Exciting.
Which means the baby is the size of...
It's a dill pickle.
No, it's an avocado.
Oh, it's an avocado. That's next week's size.
We went for weird creatures.
Yeah, we had an app where you could
choose fruit or
pastry.
Oh, we're looking at on a scale of fruit and veg. Is it fruit and veg?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so this currently avocado. Nice. Next is pickle. I kept guessing that it's going to be... Was it avocado? I guess it was going to be mango.
No, you think the next one's going to be mango.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What do you remember what some of your creatures were?
What were the little beasts?
There was actually a quokka.
Oh, it was?
Which
was great, because while we were out in Australia, while she was...
I can't think what week that was.
Are they the size of a full-size baby?
I think that was later on.
The later stage, because you had to go... I stayed on to do a little tour of New Zealand, and you had to fly back, didn't you? Because you were a little too far gone already.
I think it must have been quite late on.
She was quokkered by that stage, and that's when she had to go home.
But we also had it. Yeah, we could do fruit and veg, weird creatures, or pastries. I think was another one, which was an odd one. Yeah, there was a French pastries one. Yeah, niche.
I can't think of anything smaller than the profiterole.
Yeah, exactly. That's I don't know what it started with. But.
Some sort of grains. Could you get before it becomes pastry?
Sure.
A dough ball. Dough ball is actually smaller than a profiterole.
Yeah. Well, Ronnie is technically a little mixture of French and Australian. So he's kind of, that's maybe it's...
A quokka profiterole.
No, it's probably a weird algorithm going, this is what you want. French pastries is what you want.
On the way here, I've been out doing some things today and I didn't have lunch. So I'd bought myself a baguette and an avocado. And I was thinking about this with the fact that it's the size of an avocado. And I didn't kind of sort that out. And I was at Queen's Park Station eating an avocado like an apple. which I was peeling it, but I felt like a total weirdo because I've never done that before in my life.
I don't think I have. But no. Yeah. I've so never do you done eat it. What it is every week then? Is that kind of like.
I knew someone who did that, who her husband would give her the fruit.
Yeah.
And like nice.
Bestow it upon her.
Thank Christ we didn't do that. I'd have had to source a quokka and a naked mole rat and a kind of. What were the other weird little things? Well, I suppose like it was like originally it was like a little was it a water bear? Because it was like when it was tiny when it was like virtually nothing at all. It was a little you know,
like weird frogs or just some
It's a what is a water bear?
I've never heard of that.
Oh, you're right. This is going to be some valuable time that you'll be wasting now looking at this. The what do they call them? It's I got obsessed with these for a while.
You did get really obsessed.
They're amazing. They're amazing, like water bears. What the hell are they called? I'm going to look it up now. So they're these little tiny sort of organisms that you can just about sort of see in a microscope.
Yeah.
But they're kind of they just look like little bears in sort of
water.
No. They look like they're wearing. A sort of what do you call those sleeping bag suits that you can wear? Do you know what I mean?
But I don't know what they're called, but I've seen.
Oh, what's it called? I'm so annoyed, especially how obsessed I was at one point.
And what are they? But they're just like
explain the
What are they? What do they do?
We're going way off topic now, but it's right. Trust me, it's worth it. It's so they're the creature, the most hardy creatures on Earth. So these have been around forever.
Yeah.
These predate most things, and they can survive anything. They've blasted them into space. They put them on ridiculous depths underwater, ridiculous low temperatures. They can survive anywhere, and they can technically die, almost die, and then be brought back to life with just a drop of water.
They're like the John Wick of the
Wick of the miniature creature.
Do you understand
world.
That reference?
No, I haven't seen.
I didn't think you.
I haven't. I just thought yes, either, but I knew what you meant. I've not watched.
Tardigrades. There we go. That
tardigrades.
So,
They're
like kind of pugs with a snout,
sort of in a weird wrinkly sleeping bag. And so they're,
and they said it, but they that doesn't look like it's in water. That looks like it's walking around a field.
No, but they love it does. That's I think that's an artist's impression. But it's so they can they go down to like this tiny little shriveled dry state, which is called a tun state. I don't know why I remember that and don't remember the name of the creature. But I got obsessed, didn't I? And
proving it right now.
Yeah.
And that's how they survive. They can lose all the moisture in their body.
Yeah.
And then so scientists are researching this to look into, you know, eternal life and to look into sort of, you know, longevity in humans, that sort of thing. It's still they don't know. There's theories that they came over on asteroids and they're sort of not of this world, and they're sort of, but they
Carl's gonna get right into
you
this
will get now. Right into this.
Once
I apologize,
my endless parenting books that I'm currently reading.
Great,
which I just noticed on your table over there, you've got the Philippa Perry book.
Yes, we do. I've not actually read it yet, but that is on the list to read.
It's very interesting, really interesting read. We both had a similar reaction where some of it we were like, that's...
There's stuff about teenagers and things like, I don't fucking need to know that.
The language used when talking to kids, like she's obviously a trained psychologist. So when she writes how you should sort of talk to kids, it's in a language that no one's going to talk to their kid like that.
Sure.
So it's really interesting. And a lot the theory of it I really enjoyed, but some of it I read the things that she... would say to a kid, and I was like, come on, mate.
That's not realistic.
And in that moment, you definitely wouldn't say that.
I think, my mum sort of read it and gave it to me, and I've seen her do a few talks about it, not read it. And I think, I'm a bit I'm like, the theory of it, I think, is absolutely spot on. How you actually deal with the reality of that, I think, is probably a lot harder, because it's like, yes, in an ideal world, but, you know.
Have you ever read...
They're not ideal creatures. So.
The famous child psychology book, They Fuck You Up, by Oliver James.
Oh, no.
No.
It's one... I mean, it feels
Carl's
like...
Carl's been reading it.
I've been reading it for about... It feels like 25 years.
Since Waterbears arrived on...
It's such tiny font. Do you know when you start... Do you know that moment when you open a new book and the font's really tiny and part of you just dies inside?
I don't have the time.
And
And
because it's coincided with Christmas, New Year, and all that, so I've just it's felt like some sort of odyssey going through it.
Challenge.
But finally, I'm just about to wrap it up.
Well, on that note, I used to read to him when he was little, when he was tiny. I would just sort of read to him in the morning when he couldn't even move his head really, not even focus. I would just be there just with him in the morning while Pauline was recovering from the night because he was not a good sleeper. And I'd just read him Larkin and I'd read him Wordsworth and read him little poetry books that are still down there actually.
Yeah.
Did you do any reading? Oh, sorry, keep going.
But it was just, it sort of seemed to have quite a soporific effect on it, and it was great for me. I just got to read a bit of poetry in the morning I read this bit of verse quite a few times just to make myself laugh.
Right, in Holly McNish's book, Holly McNish wrote an amazing book called Nobody's Told Me about she's a poet and she wrote a book charting her pregnancy and up to when her kid was three. And she's my favourite part of the book is a poem she wrote about reading to her child. She said that is like when she feels happiest.
I think I saw her do that at Latitude, I think. Yeah, she's brilliant, Holly.
It's lovely, yeah.
Really lovely. But Philippa's great as well. She's a brilliant speaker because she's a regular at the festival that Pauline is now director of, the Also Festival, just to give that a little plug. Yeah. Also Festival, July.
3rd to the 5th of July.
3rd to the 5th of July. But she's brilliant. And I'm yet to read the book as well because, you know, time and baby. And
it's quite, I've been reading all the psychology books. You're doing more sort of, obviously, naturally the mothering and
the
actual pregnancy stuff. Yeah. But yeah, just that and They Fuck You Up both make you think, geez, I need to really watch what I say around a child.
Well, I know we've already thrown a few little F-bombs in there. We're now at the stage where it's terrifying because he's so wordy. And actually, a friend of ours sort of said this as well. Clara said this, didn't she? When she's got this now 3-year-old, isn't it? We were out in the States visiting him last year, and she was 2 back then, nearly just going on 3. And I'm convinced she's a genius, this kid. She's amazing. She just, for starters, she will just come down and just sing to you. She'll come. The parents aren't from California, but they're living out there, and she's now been there for 2 years and has developed this sort of Californian drawl. She comes and goes, hey guys, and just like, come on, guys. If there's something that didn't appeal to, and just she come down with a little guitar, a little kid guitar, and just play you little songs that she'd made up that often rhymed, and she would do it with her eyes closed in a little faux folk singer type way. But anyway, but I remember Clara saying she would always read to her while breastfeeding. She would always just read novels to her, wouldn't she, and read plays, and she's a playwright herself, so she's obviously, you know, ridiculously smart and wordy as well. But I think there's something in that. I think there's something in just the sort of letting them enjoy the words. Like, if you're enjoying the words that you're reading to them, I think I could be wrong. Maybe he was always going to be like this with a, you know.
But it's that thing as well, because where I'm at in my pregnancy is that it's supposed to be at a point where the baby is starting to hear, possibly. And so that thing of reading to them while they're, or talking to them while they're still inside. Did you do much of that?
I just don't remember if we kind of proactively did talk
to
speaking.
Really? Being an idiot, I sort of made weird little noises to him. So I'd make little gremlin noises to him and just like, just sort of lean down and just go, just to, to amuse myself. Yeah, well, because weirdly, like when he was born then and he was sort of, you know, kicking off, not knowing what was going on and flailing about, I would quite often, like now, there you go. I would quite often just go, let's see if it works now.
Magic.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Pauline's also picked him up.
I mean, she also did that. I'll give Pauline the credit for that.
What the listeners can't see is that she's done everything. You just made a little cooing noise in the background.
Into the microphone.
All right.
Well, the mother actually.
Now he laughs. Yeah, now you're laughing.
So, but he really reacted to that strange little noise that I used to make.
Because I've got a thing where
he wants to touch the microphone.
He does, I can see. He's desperate.
I think that's what's happening right now.
I've been meaning to read the complete works of Shakespeare for a long time. And so that's my plan. I haven't started since but I was like, it's a New Year's resolution that I'm going to read it and I'm going to read it out loud.
Oh,
and so half to me, half to the baby.
To thingy.
Yeah, to that thing inside me right now.
Yeah, I don't remember reading. I think I did more like playing music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was kind of like, going, oh, this is the music that mummy likes, or kind of.
Were you very conscious of what music you were playing?
Sorry, we just realized we've left some scissors on our table.
Great parenting going on right here. Good, Ronnie.
Oh, God.
Wants the scissors.
That's better. Whoa.
Can we take the scissors away?
I know.
Everyone likes scissors.
Banana, yeah, he's got banana now, he's happy. But yeah, so we'd play him. Yeah, we played him a bit of music,
didn't
we?
That I liked, so I think it was more sort of music that made me happy. So yeah, I don't think I kind of did any.
Not just pick classical, trying to make him a genius. No, that sort I think of weird stereotype that some people like.
Well, I remember playing in Pink Floyd for the first time, playing in Dark Side, and he just lost his mind.
Yeah.
Especially with that opening bit with the heartbeat.
Yeah.
A friend of mine brought us that brilliant CD, which is, what's it called? Rockabye Baby?
Yeah, Rockabye, I think they're just called. Yeah, and it's Prince and David Bowie, with little plinky plonky versions on Rock and Spiel.
It was child, so it's awful, but it's all David Bowie songs, but like, yeah.
Sorry, you can touch that.
Just, yeah, let him have a go on the mic for one sec, because he's so desperate to play with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's
him
the thing.
There it is. It's just his little...
Ooh, he just touched the mic. He's a very headstrong. Ooh. He's always been like this. He's always been very... might match guitar, I suppose, but he's just...
I'm slightly concerned he's already taking after his father.
Yeah,
grabbing a microphone, wanting to have the limelight.
I've actually done a gig with him already. I've done a double act with him.
Did you?
One of those Bring Your Own Baby gigs.
Oh, great.
And I just had him strapped to me and was just doing it.
I've done quite a few of those gigs, and I came to one for the first time and loved it.
They're great fun, aren't they?
Yeah. And yeah, I think we got quite excited about the concept of me doing one with a baby.
It's quite fun. Yeah. I'm doing a little double act with him. Just, hey, Ronnie, what's small oblong and smells of shit? Ah, flat. Come on. No, just, yeah. just had little pocket cheese to feed him when he got narky. But he's quite into it. I think he liked the audience, liked the attention.
And so before he was on the outside, so I'm just I'm in second trimester now. Do you remember much about, like, were you pretty, like, first trimester sick or tired or what was?
I loved being pregnant. Yeah. I had a lovely pregnancy. I think the first trimester, I remember I had like, I think I had like a constant dull headache and a little bit of nausea, but actually wasn't too bad. Like, my sister was, I think, sick for pretty much the whole pregnancy.
Did she have girls or boys?
She's had a boy and a girl. Mm. Weirdly, she's travel sick. She gets quite bad travel sickness, and she thinks that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Not sure why, but yeah, she was ill, not just for the first trimester, but pretty much the entire pregnancy. Yeah. Wow. If she got too hot or so she really struggled. So I was slightly dreading it. But so first 3 months I was... Yeah, a bit of a headache, a bit of nausea. Because then this is your second trimester, isn't it? It's supposed to be like the best one for energy.
I feel more normal, definitely. Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed it because I felt great throughout it. I think towards the end I had a bit of heartburn, but that was kind of about as bad as it got for me. So yeah, those people who have horror stories, I was like, I really enjoyed
being
pregnant.
You were really lucky, weren't you?
Yeah.
But for a lot of it, we were out in Australia.
Yeah, so when was that, from about what point in the pregnancy was that?
That was, I think, probably where you are now, because we went out January. So I think it was like 17, 18 weeks
we went out.
And I came back at like 33 weeks.
Yeah.
I think that may have helped as well. Like, I think if I'd sort of stayed in England in my office job, I think I would, in the winter, I would have maybe been a bit, I don't know, sort of eaten through. But I think because we were in Australia, I just felt really healthy and the sunshine, was eating salads and fruit and sort of going swimming. So it just felt really energized. So I don't know whether that was pregnancy or a combination of just complete change of scenery and being able to enjoy that.
And then there was Darwin, just sweating our way through that. Yeah. That was ridiculous. Yeah. Was it Darwin when we went for the walk? Oh no, it was Brisbane, wasn't it? We decided to just go for a little trek somewhere.
Yeah.
The most easterly point, lighthouse.
Byron Bay.
Oh yeah.
It was Byron Bay, that's right.
And it's like, oh, it's only down there. We'll just pop down there.
I think we got our scale wrong. When you look on a British map, this is a nice, easy walk, isn't it?
It takes much longer to get up than you expect it does.
And we've just got this picture of us looking like death, just sweating. But she was, nearly close to popping, weren't you, by that point?
Yeah. But yeah, listen, I enjoyed it. Although a friend of ours, she's had a second baby.
Mm.
And she said that, I thought I really enjoyed being pregnant, and then realised second time round, oh no, I'd just forgotten all the awful bits. So she's like, she wasn't sure whether she actually did enjoy the first pregnancy or you just sort of remember the best bits as opposed to...
But that's the opposite to normally. I think most people, whenever you go through something quite long and arduous, you normally just sort of focus on the bad bits. It's quite a nice thing that it's something that can be difficult. You look back and go, the main things I take from that are positive.
But again, that might be to do with all the hormones that people have said that we've spoken to once you give birth, and that that people we've spoken to have said, you know, a euphoria that kind of kicks in and you can, that they can just kind of cruise through it, which helps you to deal with tiredness or whatever.
You wouldn't have another one if you, you know.
Probably erases some of the bad bits.
I suppose, and also the outcome is you have a child.
Yeah.
It does build up to, there's a purpose to
Exactly.
I think this week I held my first baby since I've been pregnant. I was at a friend's house and got handed a baby. And I, that's my first freak out that I had because I held her and was like, oh, shit, this is going to be me in 6 months' time. Like, this is actually happening. Oh, no. What have I? Oh, God. Am I ready? Like, this will be my baby. People will see me holding my baby. Oh, like, it was a real reality.
What were you most afraid about from that, though?
It was, I think for me, it's still a very grown up thing to have a child. I'm getting to the point now, probably over the last couple of weeks, where I can actually say I'm pregnant, which until now has been like, there's a baby in my tummy. There's a thing happening that kind of...
I think that's a performer thing, isn't it?
Yeah, might be.
We're doing this, you know, we're mucking about.
Yeah, it's the seriousness of...
Pauline?
I think for me, like you said, it's because I could never imagine the actual baby. Even though, like, we wanted one and it was absolutely planned and I was very broody, but I couldn't ever get my head around the concept of like, that bump ends in
even when
on
like,
the outside.
Even when you
on
could
I think once he's out, yeah. But I think
what about kicking and stuff? Did that never?
Again, it was because he did, and I've got video footage of it moving. But it still just felt like I didn't quite ever understand that. Well, not understand's not the right word, but I just couldn't imagine
conceptualize.
Yeah, exactly.
It,
I think it was the concept just like, I mean, so yes, at some point, I'm going to be holding. Like whatever's in here.
Yeah.
It's a really bizarre.
Do you remember the first scan though? That was hilarious. We both sort of went, ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't realise the heartbeat would be so fast and so loud. Yeah. And they don't warn you. It was just like.
Yeah, they should give you a little heads up.
I think so.
Because it was like, they said the heartbeat's like 150. And I was like, what is it? What is it running or something?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But it was just like, they were like, that's totally normal.
So yeah, and just looking at it as well, let's call him. But like looking at that, just the movement and just the shape, and that sort of thing, that's a real.
Well, I think
thing.
That's what.
I know, obviously, you know that's what you're going to see, but.
I remember at the time saying to people, and I know this sounds stupid, that like how much like a baby the scan.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think you've only ever seen still images, and they're just like blobs you can't see.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like, oh, right, I can, because you see it moving and you hear the heartbeat. And that really was like, oh, it's a baby. Of course it's a baby. But again, it was a moment of,
And then they took
shock.
That still where he basically looked like a demon, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That's not his best side.
It's just a bad photo.
Yeah, it's just a terrible photo. We've all had him mid-sneeze or something. But it was,
We had another scan, because we've had a few scans already. We had one this week because I had to go to the premature clinic because I had... surgery on my cervix 6 years ago, and when I mentioned that to the midwife at the first appointment, she's like, oh, we should take you to the premature clinic, because what can happen is if you've had some sort of surgery, the weight on the cervix can make it open early and you give birth prematurely. So they just wanted to measure the size of the cervix and make sure everything was fine, which it was, and that was
this is how little we know. Neither of us knew what the cervix was.
Like, I sort of knew, but I just couldn't. When so how long, Pauline? How long do you think a cervix should be?
See, again, I'm like, I don't really know. I would be able to like point to it.
So it should be around 3 centimeters. The cervix should be about 3 centimeters. And so mine was 31 millimeters, which is almost spot on. And she kind of pushed on my stomach, and it didn't move really. But I was, when she said 31 millimetres, I was like, what? Because I was sort of imagining the vagina, and I was like, I thought it'd be about 15, 18 centimetres or something like that.
So we sound small, I don't know.
Just like this tiny little section in me. But so we walked out of there, and I immediately just Googled picture of vagina and penis, and I was like, wait, what bit's the cervix? Oh, that's the cervix.
It's so late to be doing biology exam. It's like,
well, there's an amazing animation of like what happens to your organs. Like when the baby gets big, and that's really freaky. So, and like you said, our bodies are quite incredible. And again, I didn't really exactly know where everything was, but it sort of shows you as the baby gets bigger, like where everything gets pushed to. It's things end up like to the side and around the back and up by your ribs, and it's sort of all everything,
it's
and
magic.
Then comes back down again. It's really alien-like, which is why I think, again, I find it hard to think, because yeah, you see the alien moving, and you can see it, but then to suddenly go, oh, and that's going to be this little person that's yours.
Well, the little legs on the scan last week really surprised me.
It was just crossing and uncrossing its legs, just in a continual cross, uncross.
I constantly sit and cross and uncross my legs. So I feel like
takes after you already.
Proof, yes.
I mean, that's good to know.
He's been waiting for the moment just to make sure. And that crossing and uncrossing the legs.
I said it to the nurse. Sorry, when you scan, can you check if it's constantly crossing and uncrossing his legs, please?
Definitely, yeah, definitely mine. Yeah, because the picking up and the holding, I used to be terrified of holding other people's babies. I was just going, oh, God. And then now I'm just like, oh, yeah, it gives a go. I love holding other people's babies.
Yeah. I think kind of my rationale, I relaxed into it and was like, oh, no, this is fine. And then my rationale was, oh, if it comes out of me, I'll probably feel better than it's on the outside after it's been on the inside. Like, it kind of makes sense. It was there and now it's out here.
Yeah.
Cool. I get it. But yeah, the that concept of this will be me with my baby, nah. Yeah.
But it's constantly. But I'd say it changes on a daily basis, doesn't it, of how you view them? Because especially this is what's lovely about doing what I do is that I get to see him mostly during the daytimes.
Yeah.
And I bugger off at night, leaving Pauline
with great.
Bedtime, the easiest part of the day tradition.
But he's overtired and, you know,
You get the nice bit in the evening.
Yeah, but he gets the fun daytime, so I get the...
But my point being, I get to see the changes. Like, and it's so, like, every single day for the past 18 months, you've just had to sort of reimagine your view of him. I mean, now we just can't. You'd sort of look back at old pictures of him with sort of no eyebrows and not even able to look you in the eye and just this weird wrinkly face. Yeah. And, do you know what I mean? It's this weird little being.
I don't really remember him being a newborn.
No.
As in, I think everyone sort of says that. You're so busy moving on to whatever the next stage is that you sort of forget. It's like our upstairs neighbours had a little boy a month ago, and I was sort of fine holding him, but I was like, oh, I'd forgotten how small, and I just I don't really remember, like I must, but I don't feel like I properly remember him ever being that small.
And you were probably also absolutely exhausted.
And I ended up with a C-section, so I was on a lot of drugs for the first 6 weeks, so I was all over the place.
And here's a quick question, because you're the first dad we've had on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Dad.
We're so glad for the company. But I was chatting to another comedian friend called Mike Gunn the other night at a gig, and he was saying that actually for the first, because he said for the first sort of few weeks, the baby's so small and so instantly attached to the mother that he genuinely felt this sort of slight disconnect of, I don't really feel part of this yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, is that a thing to expect?
I think it's quite common. Your friends recently had a similar thing as
Mate
well.
Mate of ours had that. There's kind of, it's quite nice because we never did NCT because we were...
So it's nice.
Lights were going on
flashing
and off.
The lights on.
Yeah. He's just having a little rave. Actually, that's another great thing, playing him sort of dance tunes. It's great because you forget how early on they like to dance. They just get them have a dance. They're just playing a bit of like Chemical Brothers and Aphex Twin and stuff. And he's just saying, what are you into? Genuinely doing little ray boos, and he's doing it. It was great. Anyway, so back to that. Now, I don't know. Well, we had Ronnie in a heat wave, and so both of us were. He was just this clammy little baby. Well, we all were. Mm. You're meant to have this sort of skin on skin contact with him instantly, and we're just like peeling him off.
Horrible.
This little
That's
entity. None of us were really enjoying it.
Yeah, we were like, this is not a bonding experience. Yeah, this is just unpleasant for everybody.
But at least we could sort of take him out quite a lot. He got a lot of fresh air, I suppose, from that. We had to, because it was just a sweat box, wasn't it, the flat?
But again, I think because, like you said, you're around. You know, I think a lot of people whose husbands have to do the sort of just 2 weeks and go straight back to a, you know, especially if they're kind of leaving the house early, not getting back till 7, that's a long old time. So it was in those early months, definitely, it was incredible having you around. So whether that made you sort of feel sort of closer to him.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I never had that disconnect. There was definitely sort of a period of going, I felt a bit useless. Yes. I felt like
you kind of off at the first, you're like, no offence, there's not really a lot you can do.
Because you breastfeed.
I think if you're bottle feeding, you can...
I've skipped it. But so that's the thing. So he was kind of, he breastfed for till he was what?
Like 15 months.
15
end,
months, yeah. But he...
Struggled for the first 2 months, but...
So we were... Both sort of struggling a bit because he had a reflux, so it was hurting him when he swallowed anything, and he was just like we were sort of both in the deep end at the start because he didn't have a volume control. He was just straight onto volume 11 he woke up, when he came off the boob, when he was just everything, wasn't it? He would just scream, and we knew he wasn't like an unhappy baby, but there was something that wasn't right, and that's what it was. He just had heartburn, essentially, sort of
like you,
every day. So he had that, and
which is really,
and I think I was in shock for the first. Yeah, it took us probably 2 months for him to get the hang of feeding. Like he really struggled, and I didn't.
You want to go out? Oh, owl! Oh, the owl!
The owl's on. I just assumed it was sort of this really easy, natural thing, and it turned out it wasn't. Yeah. It does take time, and I wasn't quite prepared for that. I'm not sure
I read that it's actually because it's really common because they literally go from getting all their food from through the placenta and amniotic fluid and all that, and suddenly they just they're forced to just totally feed on something else.
Yeah,
it's a total shock to the system,
and they are a bit useless at it. Yeah. And like I said, I think they kind of know where to go and how to get it. But again, you know, they sort of show you photos. I think that's what I found hilarious looking back, is that, you know, it's in hospitals when you see all these books, you've got these lovely soft focus images of mother with babe on boob, and it was like, that looks amazing. Yeah. It was like the reality for us was like him screaming, me crying, both sweating. It was just like,
and at one point,
this isn't how it looks in the book.
Yeah.
At one point, a big strong Nigerian woman coming in and squeezing milk out of you, isn't it? Just like going, here you go, just like,
she genuinely milked me in the hospital.
Worked, though, didn't it?
Wow.
But
did you have a breastfeeding class that you did?
No, I looking back, I probably should have done. I think because he was due the weekend of the festival that I run, I kind of was working on that.
And you were running it that?
Yeah, so I didn't obviously attend the festival, but was working on it. So in some respects, it was great.
He was still working on a spreadsheet while in labour.
Honestly, I sent a couple of emails.
Dedication.
Yeah.
At the beginning. Ronnie's now touching the microphone.
Because he was born just before the festival, wasn't he?
So he was on his due date, was the day of the festival.
So to extent where we had to move the date. I'm actually run the festival. I had to move the date of the festival a week back because was Ronnie's first birthday. So it's the power that he has.
But so looking back, I don't think I was possibly as prepared as I could have been. So in some ways, it was great because my energy was on the festival rather than, so I didn't really stress about the birth or kind of, you know, the baby as much as I think if I'd had more time. So that kind of felt good in some ways, but in other ways I think I was just in shock. But I don't know whether you just would be in shock anyway, because it's such a...
So did he come on time, or was he early or late?
He
or?
Was bang on his due date.
Yeah, wow. Yes.
4% of kids, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people are joking
it's
because...
It's bizarre science. It's
and
not.
First kids tend to be later, don't they? There's a chance of them being late.
Everyone was joking about it before anyway, because Pauline's natural efficiency skills see spreadsheet while in labour.
Yeah.
Everyone's going, well, it's Pauline's, of course it's going to come on time. Of course it is. Of course it's going to be the due date. And lo and behold, there he was.
Trolled from Great Big Owl. Tracy Ann Oberman interviews celebrities about their experiences of abuse online.
If you want to sit in a room and talk to another fellow sitting in his room and have an argument, that's fine too. Or you cannot do that.
On trains.
I had to get on the train and this woman hit me in the back and said, you're an arsehole.
And on a bus.
And I think it's weird that you would suggest that a woman is so ugly to get sex when you basically look like a potato.
All that and more. That's Trolled with Tracy Ann Oberman from Great Big Owl, out now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But yeah, no, we didn't do an NCT because we weren't around for a lot of it in Australia. So, but as I said, like a bunch of mates sort of had kids about the same time in London. which has been lovely. So we'll sort of go and meet up a few of them around the area. So we go down sort of Peckham to the little leisure centre there, have a little swim.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
that's quite nice. Little pub sessions with the kids and yeah. sort of thing. Peckham, that's right. He loves Peckham at the moment.
That's cool.
Like Peckham.
What's
the TV? He loves an up-and-coming area.
So yeah.
It's going to be an estate
property magnate. Peckham! We love a bit of Peckham!
Peckham!
Peckham! So... he gets enthused about the weird Peckham. Things. Peckham! So, but there's...
No one used to get that excited about Peckham. 20 years ago, no one ever said it in that tone.
What's the TV show that was...
Only Fools and Horses.
No.
Desmond's was set in Brixton.
Brixton, yeah.
Hannah's never seen Desmond.
Have you not?
We watched a really good
Lenny Henry.
Imagine with Alan Yentob interviewing Lenny Henry last night, and it's really good. And he talked about that period of Desmond's and stuff when TV suddenly shifted from things like Love Thy Neighbour to Desmond's.
I love Desmond's because I was brought up in Buckinghamshire. We never even saw black people, so it was kind of like,
well, I grew up here in Brixton, so I loved it. I just
I was just saying, a mate of ours, the sort of the latest one out of our lot, I suppose, to have kids, who's I think he's the youngest out of all of us, and probably the sort of, I'd say, like maybe the biggest party animal out of us as well, sort of big festival goer and sort of flamboyant, lovely South African guy with his wonderful wife, both sort of into yoga and both into like festivals and dressing up and big sort of, and they recently had the kid, and he just had this sort of initial reaction of like, oh God, like I might go and see a therapist about this, because I'm not feeling the emotions I thought I would feel. I don't know if I love him. I feel really guilty, and it's
much more common than people let on.
But to a man on the little WhatsApp, of course we've got a little WhatsApp group, and to a man, everyone went, "Yep, normal, totally normal." Like it's hell for the first. No one tells you this. It's kind of you know, you'll be sleep deprived. You he won't want you. You can do nothing. You'll give love but get nothing back. All that sort of thing. And it really helps him out. Everyone just going totally.
Well, that's what I've heard is normal. One of the best things about going to NCT classes is then the WhatsApp group you get at the end of it, and the support and the chat. That's and it is when someone suddenly goes, but it's all kind of gentle and nice, and then someone will be like, I had the worst night last night, and then
everyone piles in.
Oh my God!
And it just sort of normalises it. So we didn't do NCT, but there's a lot of great classes and sort of a lot of free stuff around the area. And again, so I did a singing thing for like a 10-week singing thing when he was really little, and that was great because I remember the first week just being sort of like 20 women again looking shell shocked with these tiny little creatures, just all of us looking completely like, oh, what's going on? And towards the end, everyone looking a bit more confident. But again, that what was great about that was just, you know, some of them I probably don't even remember their names, but I remember sitting there talking very openly and honestly about the night I've had, about fluid, about, you know, just all sorts of stuff that I probably wouldn't talk to necessarily close friends about, but you just do, and it's just really reassuring to have that support. Yeah, even if you then don't become friends with them, but in that moment, it's just
you get membership to this weird oversharing cult.
Yeah,
just talking about
which needs to happen. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
That so being in Australia as well, because I'm gonna be there.
Hold that thought. Let me just get it. I think this is him going, why aren't you paying attention to me now?
Also, it's nearly dinner time.
It's 35 minutes. He's been very good.
He's been alright.
We'll be wrapping
up. With being in Australia, because we're there from week, in my pregnancy, 25 to 32 weeks. So there's going to be a couple of... probably a couple of doctor's appointments while we're there. Did you go and have scans and stuff while you were over there?
Yeah, we did. We had to go and see. Yeah, we went to see midwife out in Australia just for the scans, really.
Yeah, you got to pay for that there, right?
No, I don't think we did, actually.
Really?
No, I think we were able to... No, Brits are able to get... Did we?
We did.
I thought we got it on the Medicare.
You still have to pay on Medicare, though, I think.
Yeah.
But not as, yeah, it's not the not same as NHS. No. Yeah.
Anyway, but... yeah, we did pay. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like crazy price. I think you, it's like a discount.
Yeah.
Rate, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was cool. But it's kind of, what was really interesting was the different advice that we got between the sort of GP and then the midwives and then various sort of hospital people. And you sort of, you come out of it. Well, it was really frustrating that the first month or so, because you go, why did no one give us just like a point by point manual sort of thing?
Mm.
And of course, then you sort of soon realise there's no such thing.
Yeah.
That'd be pointless. And there's nothing. The best that you can do, like you say, is talk to other people. And to people who've been through it as well.
Yeah.
And just share little stories. And you realise how different everyone's kid is.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Might just get, you know, like, I think he's in a really fun stage at the moment. He's sort of really chatty. He's kind of... you missed Pauline's grimace there.
Just having taken about the room crying. He's in a really fun stage.
But in general, he is, isn't he? He's kind of... you know most of the time why he's upset and he's able to articulate himself. There you go. That's now because he just wants the mic. Or the top of the mic. But, you know, he didn't walk until he was... What age was he, like 15 months?
Yeah.
But was a real talker.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah.
Hold on, what do you want? There we go. So you just have to sort of...
He's been very good, by the way. He's been very good.
I think he just wants attention now. But like... I sort of... always found him really fascinating. So even in the times where I felt, okay, I'm a bit helpless here and I can't do anything to help out, like he needs Pauline, he needs the milk, or he needs the mum's affection, that sort of thing, I just found the whole thing really fascinating. Just watching the development.
Yeah.
Because I studied psychology at uni as well, so I remember like all the child psychology stuff that I found really interesting back then.
Yeah.
And just found some old books that I was sort of just looking through and going, oh yeah, of course.
I'm obsessed with child psychology. I mean, I've always been interested in psychology. I've read loads of stuff.
Yeah. Like,
it's always been one of them topics I just naturally gravitate towards. So I've just read so many weird things about child psychology. I'm just fascinated by that, especially that early few years where they just soak everything up.
Yeah,
I'm excited to have that experience.
Well, right now he's putting meaning into things. He's putting words together. So he'll go sort of key door or key dada, meaning I want to go out, get keys. We're going out of the house.
Yeah.
What's he doing recently? He's done. He shows a lot of empathy now as well, and he did this thing this morning where he's just putting little things to sleep, like he'll just put a bottle on its side and go, and then smile at you, go, a bottle's sleeping there.
Yeah,
you go, yeah, it is. That's cute.
Very clever.
I think that's the thing. Yeah, you're so engrossed in, like you said, the stage that they're at that you kind of sort of looking back. It's such a whirlwind, or they do change so much. Like I said, now he's this sort of little person that can speak and make sense of stuff, and yet for so long they're kind of useless and don't do anything.
Like, we took him out to France a week ago, and he was just, he looks at people differently when they're talking in either a different accent or, which is hilarious given what I do for my profession, pretend to be a Frenchman, but it's like, he does look at them in a different way, and you know he's trying to comprehend it. And we taught him bonjour, which was amazing. Yeah. So we just got him going, bonjour, bonjour. And he sort of... And he'd do it in the morning without being prompted. There you go. do it without being prompted. And he sort of, I think he... Bonjour. I think he knows that it's a greeting. He would sort of come down in the morning and go, bonjour.
Well, we saw it. There was a TV show about sort of two-year-olds. And remember that bit about language and how kids can hear lots of different tonal differences.
But
then as we get used to one language, we just don't hear it in the same way. So that's why they can that's how they pick it up so easily, because there's just those little shifts that differentiate it, that then makes it easier for them, because they can actually hear those differences.
Well, it's like they know an upward inflection is a question straight away. And like, because he got really obsessed with the word no once he had it.
Yeah,
so like, no. So you do da-da-da-da-da, and he go, no, 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 no. Even if he wanted something, like, do you want this banana? No.
Yeah.
Banana. like, grab it. But it was just the fun of, like, knowing that that was a response to a question.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
As well as child psychology and reading all about it, there was another thing that you did this week. Do you remember what that was?
What did I do?
You purchased something.
I got a vintage pram. Yeah. Oh no!
Did you?
I stupidly started having a look at vintage prams on eBay.
Yeah.
And I know it's not going to be the best one. It's going to be cumbersome and heavy.
And you live in London.
And we live in London. Yeah. But I saw one that was so cool, and it was like 70s red,
nice.
Chrome. It looks like something from like Rosemary's
nice.
Baby.
I bet it wasn't red. I bet it was maroon.
No,
was
it's
it
like, bright
no, it's
red.
Bright
oh, I'm proper like.
And it probably needs a tiny bit amazing. Of, you know, a little bit of love. But I just saw it and I was like, and it was so, the starting bid was so low, and it, but it had to be picked up out in sort of near Amersham. And oh, yeah. I just thought for a laugh, I liked it. I'll put the low. I'm talking like the
that's
lowest,
my folks
lowest bid was.
Up,
I really,
yeah, yeah.
Excellent. I'm actually meant to pick up on Monday, but like the starting bid was £13.
Oh, and wow. So, and I've like quite early on, I started looking at prams. I don't know why. I saw something. And I was like, I wonder what that is and how much that costs. And oh, that looks good, but I can't believe how expensive they are.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the most expensive thing we own.
Yeah.
I would say
I've
it's
never
probably
paid that
the
much for a car. Yeah, honestly, it's ridiculous.
Other than maybe your like computer, that's the most expensive single item thing we own.
Yeah, but this with the starting bid of £13.
Oh, wouldn't you?
Hannah just went. I was looking at it, and she goes, "We'll just put an offer in it, even if you know,
even
if it's we end up not using it and we give it away.
You're totally going to modify it as well, aren't you?
Yeah." So, but I put
some
a bid
alloys on it,
and no one else bid on it. So,
he's mad. He might right, be. Right, on.
Getting,
yeah, it's getting
yeah, close. Yeah. We're getting right up to dinner time. Okay, but yeah. So I'm now the winning bidder on a red
£13.
That's pretty cool.
Picking it up on Monday.
Good luck with that. Because what I love about ours is just it's the turning circle. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
What one do you have?
What did we get? Bugaboo B. There we go.
Okay, I've read about those ones.
This red one's gonna have the turning circle of like a cruise.
Getting modified.
Yeah, like a big old Mercedes, isn't it? One of those nice.
But I'm gonna look so cool. We'll turn apart.
So cool.
But even that thing just saying, because I've got a couple of old books about pregnancy. My mum sent me one from when she was pregnant with me and sent me one from when my grandma was pregnant with her.
Oh, wow.
So just looking back into that really, like into the 40s, and that thing of when a baby's born, they have to have outside time every day. Like it's a thing that back in the old days, you would just put them in the garden or out the front of the house in their pram just so they got fresh air and it was good for their lungs and good for their developments. So even if it ends up just being a pram that sits in the garden during summer.
Yeah, we've got a garden pram.
Got a garden
pram. Nice. Classic garden pram.
Well, we took him to Shambhala Festival when he was about 8 weeks old, I think.
Oh, we might be going to festival at 6 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So we were staying with some mates there who had they basically just put their tent up for us, which was really sweet and kind of, and it was like a little TP tent type thing. And it was so cold. It was August, but obviously it's Britain. It was so cold. Yeah. And we just had, we brought a load of blankets and stuff with him, and we were crapping ourselves. We barely slept ourselves.
Yeah,
we were so worried about him, but we had him. He was so wrapped up. He had a little suit on, and he was in these layers of blankets.
Yeah.
And it was at that time one of the best nights of sleep he'd had.
Yeah,
the Swedish way, isn't it? Is to keep the babies outside, really swaddled.
Into it.
Yeah. Look it up.
In the garden prams.
In their little garden prams. No matter how cold it is, they quite often do that. There'll be rows of prams just sort of outside.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll be reading about that.
Well, because I'm really into cold temperature sort of. I every day I have a cold. I finish my shower with like a minute of freezing water. Yeah, I've done it since the 1st of January last year. So it's just it's almost a kickstart to the day of like, it feels like it gets me up and running and
sorted.
And I feel like my immune system's better since I've been doing it.
I've never felt so alive since I did like a proper sauna once where you just run out and jump into a lake.
It's amazing.
Oh my God, it's brilliant.
So yeah, so maybe I need to look into that.
The
effect
next
on babies.
Reading.
but also, I'll see if I've got any other advice. We're sort of trying to, you know, obviously once you've brought a baby into the world, you're already sort of, you know, a threat to the environment.
Mm.
So we sort of toyed with the idea of doing the, like those, the reusable nappies, like the
cloth nappies.
The cloth nappies.
Yeah.
And we came this close and just couldn't.
Did you
bring
start trying or you didn't?
Because no,
that's my plan at the moment.
Yeah. I feel a bit guilty about that, but we got these ones that are, they're M and Y, I think they're called, Mum and You, and they do completely biodegradable wipes.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do nappies that biodegrade, I think, in like 1 or 2 years rather than whatever the other hellish ones are, like 200 years, something like that. Got these little cheeky wipes as well that are great rather than wipes of the face. It's just cloths, really, but you keep them in a little tub back there, and then you just put them in a, you just tie them up and chuck them in the washing machine. But because someone was saying, actually, because our mate does this as well, that I was talking about, he's been doing the cloth nappies and it's just like, it's the bane of his life. And another mate, I don't know how true this is, but said, actually, you waste more water. No, it's more wasteful with the water, the amount of water that you use to wash these, like constantly.
And the amount I'll be,
because you're doing that anyway, I suppose.
I'll be having to wash my hands 5 million times a day.
And your vomit and all your,
I'll be vomiting. Oh, I'm really squeamish with like poo and wee.
Which is something that's going to change.
It will.
Yeah, I know it will, but I definitely think I can protect myself with, you know, I'm going to get surgical scrubs.
You get weirdly used to poo.
I know.
It's
sure I will.
Really
I
weird.
Think,
it's quite
know,
disconcerting.
I think it's going to be really healthy for me because I'm really, I'm definitely like, I don't know what happened in my childhood or in previous life, but I'm so like squeamish.
Oh, I used to hate all that as well. I'm now just, I'm totally, you know. Just...
My thing, I'm not that worried about poo and spew. Yeah, but I read in Holly McNish's book, and I remember this from in my past from some hippie parents that I knew, with this thing that sometimes you have to suck the snot out of their nose.
Oh, yeah, you've done that, haven't you, Pauline?
Yeah, but
sucking snot out of the nose.
No, I bought a thing.
Oh, she bought a thing, which
we'll
I'm going to learn about.
Can you quickly, we'll wrap it up with you telling us final tips.
Well, I'll tell you, no, it's called a nasal, I can't think what it's called, nasal something. But yeah, a friend of mine told me a horror story of his little baby.
Oh, God.
Like literally not being able to breathe, screaming, his wife getting really upset. And he genuinely went in with the mouth and had to, and that freaked me out so much that I think the first thing that I bought before he was even born was this like little nasal thing.
I'm glad there is
a suction one.
I thought
so
I was going to have to do it.
I'd say I weirdly would be more comfortable doing that than touching poo.
Really? Oh,
yeah, because
no.
I've got nasal problems I've had since birth, so I'm quite comfortable with snot. Weirdly, I could live with that.
You do that.
I'll tell you what. You do nappies.
Still have to do some nappies, but I'm not. You can suck. That's
exactly. Yeah. Although hilariously, like we never even used it. I think I've used it once when he was a little bit bunged up. But like I said, that was one of the first things that I bought just because of this horror story, and then never actually got to use it. But. Yeah, the amount of things that I've bought, again, you know.
Yeah, what are the things that have been useless that you've got?
So I went through a phase, again, when early days of sort of breastfeeding at 3 or 4 in the morning, and obviously you're targeted on Facebook, and you're sort of, so, and I was a sucker for it, sleep deprived, going, this is going to make everything okay. Yeah. So I bought the things that you put on your thumb, which are like nail files, that again, the pictures of these lovely babies looking really happy with you being able to file their nails.
Yeah.
No, bought that. That obviously didn't work. I bought a very expensive teething egg thing from America that supposedly babies loved, and that was going to solve everything. That didn't really like that. So I think Alexis banned me at one point from sort of, he's like, stop looking on Facebook or, you know, the internet at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're sleep deprived and looking for an answer to, everything.
What's the flip side of that? Is there anything that you think is like absolutely vital that you might not have been told before? Like things that people, obviously everyone knows the basic sort of list, but some people just have one little thing they're like, you need to remember this.
Yeah, well, his sister bought us this little like owl thing that sings, and we still use that for bedtime. So it's got a heartbeat, white noise, water, and a lullaby on it. So yeah, that we still use that every day. But yeah, white noise, I think, is a white noise and swaddling. We got, and actually, I think it's an Australian brand. I can't think what it's called now, I'll show you. But it's so rather than the swaddle when you kind of have to wrap them up, because I never really understood that and didn't feel confident enough to I didn't really understand
one fold
it.
Wrong. Hello.
I know, I was really too scared. I was I'm too scared of the little arms. But this thing, it just zips them up sort of in a star shape. So the hands are kind of like by their ears already.
Oh, they look swaddled. Yeah. They're brilliant.
Yeah, and he lived in that.
Yeah, he loved that, didn't he?
So I think that was Australian brand. So
that
the
owl.
That's in the owl.
The owl.
And one more piece of advice, just from our neighbours here, don't buy a Dachshund puppy a month before you have your kid.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We had to take, they were having a home birth, and we had to take the little yappy dog off them
Their flat is the size of our flat, by the way. It's the exact same flat as this, and she had her baby in her flat. So at the time, we didn't like
did
to
Did she have water birth or just...
Water birth in the flat, but they've got this
thinking
dog.
Thinking about that, too.
Yes, I guess. That's what I wanted, actually.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing with the birth plan. It's we went to a very useful class at St. Thomas's about... the whole birth and sort of run up to it, and that was really useful as a kind of... So you write your birth plan as in that's what you would like.
Yeah.
But sorry, Ronnie's just in our corridor going, Ronnie!
Bless.
Sorry, Karen.
No, just saying the class we went to at St. Thomas's, the advice on the kind of run up to the birth.
Mm.
And she kind of mocked up a C-section. So she's like, you know, of course everyone writes your birth plan, but, you know, basically you want your baby out safe. Yes. So however that happens.
Yeah.
So she was sort of trying to basically say, for those of you who want a very natural birth, if you end up having to have a lot of intervention, you know, that can sometimes be quite upsetting. And she sort of mocked up how many people there would be in the room. And, you know, there's like anaesthetists, two surgeons, you've got midwives, you've got, and it's quite intense. And I think without that, I think I would have been in a lot more shock than I possibly was. So things like that were kind of quite useful to go. Because, I wanted a lovely water birth, but ended up, you know, emergency C-section, as I think happens up to a lot of people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of... I would say that kind of an open mind to how they come out.
Yeah. Was there any last questions you had?
No, I think I've learned loads.
You got to talk to a dad today.
Dad time. It's lovely that I genuinely had no idea how much I would enjoy it, how much fun and how much love you feel from it. It's like everything you think it will be, multiply it by 10. So the frustration, the boredom at first, the sleep deprivation, the tiredness, just the lack of the dad brain.
Dad brain.
I found myself just putting my socks over my shoes one day.
Oh no, I've got a brilliant photograph of you dressing Ronnie in a sleep suit the wrong way around.
Clearly,
so he's got his arms
around
in the feet and his feet are through.
But he's got this brilliant comedy expression on his face, like, like a sort of American sitcom, like shit dad.
So I think it's such an exciting... I love being pregnant, but... And it's one of those, I don't actually know what I would say to my pregnant self knowing what I know now. Because like I said, I kind of feel like I didn't know anything. I don't think anything anyone could have told me would have prepared me for the reality of it, in both the positive, like, brilliant way and the worst of it as well. So it is a kind of... And I think every baby's so different, and the way you're experiencing it, even though we all go through very similar things, it's how sleep deprivation will affect you. It's kind of, there's so many factors, and it's such a personal journey and such a roller coaster that, I think it is a exciting / terrifying.
Yeah, and it's one of the, genuinely, it's one of the best things about talking to people about it, because there's so many different little bits of information that every time, everyone I speak to, there's something that I'd go home and look at and is really useful.
Yeah.
But also just hearing today, your own story.
Tidy
Grace. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. What if you take nothing away from today?
And we have to watch John Wick, apparently.
Yeah.
So, on that note, thank you very much for having us in your home.
It's
and
it's Ronnie's
for
home,
Ronnie,
really.
Behaving very well, actually. It's time for his dinner now, so.
Dinner time, Ronnie.
Dinner.
Happy, happy, happy.
Bing.
Thanks
for listening.
Thanks
bye.
For listening.
GreatBigOwl.com. My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.